Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's life transformative word, and for this hour, host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I am joined for the preponderance of the hour by my fine young and dear friend, Mr. Bennett Donnelly. Bennett and I are sharing a wonderful project together concerning the Word of God. We will be sharing conversation in just a few moments. We first, however, draw upon the letter to the Hebrews as found in the New Testament of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 4, quite simply verses 12 and 13. We read this, that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. You know, it is certainly true that sometimes a word or a thought will slip through the cracks and make a rather profound difference. In the very least, it will leave an indelible impression. The Word of God assuredly does just this. The author of Hebrews, some would argue, is the Apostle Paul. Others would suggest is the Apostle Barnabas. Probably it's someone entirely else. But whoever has written Hebrews has given to us in these two verses one of the most powerful verses or collection of verses in all of the Bible. It speaks to a potency that is possessed by the Word of God. And we read it afresh. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from the sight of God. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. The Word of God has put each and every one of us on notice. And we know of this word, please, that it has inherent vitality. Indeed, the exact language used by the author is that the Word of God is, and I quote, living and active. It is not for nothing that Napoleon Bonaparte, the great tyrant of early 19th century Europe, it was Bonaparte who quipped that the Bible is a living creature that conquers all who oppose it. It has internal, inherent power unto itself that defies the consternating efforts of its detractors. And it has, blessedly and gratefully, an inherently constructive capacity to honor and to redeem the lives of those who receive it from God. God's Word has vitality because God's Word has veracity. By this we mean that the Word of God is no more and no less than true. It is a truth that shines forth both creatively and constructively. It is not comprised of a collection of dead words or of the best estimates of human beings. We aren't talking about a shot in the dark, very far from it. For the Word comes to us from on panoramic high and from the very depths of the heart and mind of the Almighty. His Word gave life to the created order in its vastness and depth. So too His Word takes life and injects it into dead bones. The prophet Ezekiel prophesied that the dead bones shall live, and we are the dead bones who come to life courtesy of Jesus Christ. Every man, woman, or child in possession of a sin-laden, sin-infested condition, can be restored to right relationship and encounter with the Almighty. Dead bones that shall see life afresh. New creation having been brought forth, just as spring begets new blossoms and buds to seemingly lifeless vines. And this word isn't merely a veneer. It is life that is new, and life that is real and substantive. It is life that is abundant and eternal. It is sentient, as it is life that has thought and feeling, animation and awe, purpose and direction. It's not merely some kind of theological encyclopedic extract. It cannot be other than meaningful and real, as it is given the pronouncement of God-given life. Therefore, as the Word is living and active, the new life that comes from this Word is now also living and active. We are alive to God through the person and work of Jesus Christ, and we are intended by Him to be active and at play in the world, bringing glory to His name, bearing witness to His truth, indeed being the restoration of His image. You and I are made in the image of God, an image that has been damaged and sullied, but now courtesy of Christ and His Spirit, restored. And its vitality does not come from this world. The vitality of the Word of God comes from God Himself. His Spirit, the very same that brooded over the face of the waters at the dawning of creation, is now, having taken habitation, begun to brood and to work in our lives. It is the Spirit of God who regenerates and convicts and challenges, comforts and gives counsel, directs and guides us, new creatures, by virtue of His creative and nurturing and stoking presence. The presence of God is everything. Where His Word speaks, there is God. Praise the Lord. The Word speaks, the Son, S-O-N, as in Jesus. The Word speaks, and the Son mediates, and the Spirit broods, all because the Father of the heavenly lights has given command by way of His living and active Word for the issuance of living and active new creatures. I became new in August of 1975, and that newness continues to bleed through me, thanks to the Holy Spirit, no thanks to myself. And a point has been reached in the life of Jesus when many people had begun to abandon Him. You see, this newness of life comes in a particular way, and it always will come at the expense of our flesh. And people who were comfortable in their flesh were not comfortable with His teaching and would choose to walk away from this new life. Christ confronted the disciples, "Would you too walk away?" And the disciples replied, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you and you alone have the words of life." Man, would the disciples be filled with vitality soon enough at the day of Pentecost with the pouring out upon them of the Holy Spirit, the very one upon whom they had been waiting as they had been instructed by Jesus. Indeed, the Spirit came upon them, and He was no dead spirit, and He would bring them into an understanding and an experience of what never was and isn't just any dead word. It is the living and active Word of God, and they would come to know the difference. I have come to know the difference. I pray that you who are listening come to know, if you have not already, the difference that is struck by the Word of God. His Word is vital, and His Word is invasive. We read that it is sharper than any double-edged sword, that it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Quite frankly, this Word of God can get under the skin. It lodges deep, and it will begin to traverse the contours and find the crannies of your interiority, as our Catholic brethren are wont to put it. That is, the deep insides of your heart and mind, and of therefore your souls. It challenges your thinking, confronts your feelings, gives no endorsement to your will. Its concern is the pleasure and purpose of God, which is the salvation of your soul and my soul also. Its motivation is the love of the Father, and its substance is that of divine wisdom. It gives no stock or credence to unredeemed human nature. Rather, it endeavors to strangulate and to kill, and also to transform and breathe new life into our sin natures. The sin is removed, the nature is remade, revitalized, and we are afresh, right and proper in our rapport with God. And he would have us to be ready to be witnesses to his name and to know the blessings that come with his presence in our lives. God is always, praise the Lord, in the blessing business. He would bless you in and through Christ. Praise his name. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It is my pleasure and honor to be joined by a young man who became my very dear friend a number of years ago. We met at the local elementary school. Bennett would walk his lovely little girl to school. I would walk my lovely little granddaughter. And he always had a book in his hand. And courtesy of those lovely children and that book, Mr. Bennett Donnelly and I became very good friends. And Bennett, I'm so pleased to bring you onto the broadcast afresh.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. It's a great song.
Well, I praise God. And you came all the way in from Michigan just to be with us today.
Yes, yeah. I just got back from Michigan, where my in-laws live.
Well, I have been as far afield that way as Minnesota, but I didn't quite make it into Michigan. But I'm glad you're back in Conshohocken, and you're working alongside of me on a very special project, which we will share more of in a bit. But please, brother, tell us about your experience. How shall I say, your Christian experience? You did share it once before, but that was a couple of years ago.
I was on with my dad.
That's right, yes. We came on together. Share with us your story of Christianity, your spiritual odyssey, however you would phrase it.
I'd say it's kind of a story of tides, where I've been very involved in the church and have really felt the presence of God, and then have been a little less involved and more in the dark, as I would say. But growing up, I grew up in the church. It was a Lutheran church, as you comment a lot, Brad.
I wouldn't boast about that, but that's just...
So growing up, I was very involved in the church, really felt the presence of God in my life. I went off to college, and I think like a lot of kids that go off to college, they sort of separate from their family and they separate from their roots. And part of my roots was growing up in the church and being a Christian. And so I didn't go to any of the Christian type events at Temple, which is where I went to college. I met my wife there, and that was really the next jump for me in my experience. We had a child quite young, and that really forces you to grow up. And in growing up, I think you really have to look at your spirituality and really investigate those portions of your life, and it really pushed me back into the church.
You know what I've loved about you, Bennett, from the day we first met? You're a very transparent young man. I'm not suggesting you air your dirty linen, per se, but you have a transparency that I find highly laudable. And part and parcel of that transparency is a willingness to speak honestly as to where you perhaps had fallen away. In some church circles, people don't want to hear about these things. But what I love about the Christian faith, and I strongly suspect it's a selling point for you as well. God is never ashamed of us. He's always ready to receive us back. He's always ready to help pick us up and just start moving forward afresh.
And I think that's been part and parcel of your experience. You've gone down certain tributaries from time to time. We all do, but you've always been led back, and you're reinforced in your faith in the aftermath of these experiences. Would that be an accurate assessment?
I would say so. It's so great to have sort of a path laid, and it's not the clearest path. Sometimes you're not always sure. There are twists and turns, and you have to guess a little bit and pray about it and let the Spirit guide you. But there's twists and turns, and sometimes you walk off the path, but it's a path you can always find again.
Sometimes, if I may, I don't mean to cut you off, sometimes you walk off that path without realizing it, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's kind of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then there's always the question for me, and this is something I really harp on, probably to my detriment, is forcing it. You know, sometimes you're not feeling church, and I never know how to I don't want to be one of those people who's like, oh, I'm not feeling it today, I don't know. But you also don't want to force it. You want to let the Holy Spirit guide you. But it's hard for someone like me who wants to grab and control to sort of let go that way.
Well, I think that there's always a balance. You know, in a classic evangelical phraseology, we deal with facts, feelings, and faith. And like the mind and the heart and the will, they have to be working in concert with one another. So you don't want to be guided by mere feelings alone. And yet, as you take wisdom from God, your heart, like your mind, will be given shape and direction. So the ultimate goal is for our lives to be operating in unison, if you will. So your mind, your heart, your will, your body, all operating in unison as the Spirit of God gives you direction. Just as within the body of believers, he wants his people to be acting as one. In fact, we're told that unity will be the greatest source of strength to our witness for Christ. And yet amongst Christians, as you and I well know, all too often that unity is not simply disrupted, but debunked. And so I'm a Baptist, you're a Lutheran, and the twain is not always met. Although I thank God that men like yourself and your dad and mom and our dear friend Kyle, who was with us last week, you guys know the difference. I trust that I do on my denominational side of the ledger. There's a common substratum of truth that we're all desiring to have and to find and to grow in. And I know that substratum undergirds your existence. By the way, you mentioned that you went to temple. And perhaps for the sake of our audience, who might not otherwise know, Temple University was founded by a Baptist minister by the name of Russell Conwell. And he wanted to be able to provide an affordable education for working class young men. But Temple has a biblical and Christian origin, even if long ago it was jettisoned. What do you think it is, brother, about young men going to school that would take us away or deflect us from our foundations?
I don't know if it's just going to school. I think it's a confluence of things. I don't think a lot of colleges are necessarily friendly towards Christianity, but I've found in my experience it wasn't adversarial either. It just wasn't, you know, a very supportive place for that. Also, I just think it's the age you're at, especially if you go right from high school to college. It really is a time to separate all your bonds and kind of figure it out. And it's not like I stopped talking to my parents or never went to church, but it was just I was on my own and I was going to figure things out for myself. And I think you get very selfish in that age to I'm going to figure it out for myself. I don't need any advice. I don't need, you know, I don't need to read the Bible. I'll figure it out reading all sorts of other books. But as you grow older, you start to realize that there's so much wisdom in the Bible and in Christianity and your preacher when he's giving a great sermon. If you're really listening, you'll gather all that wisdom and it makes you a better person.
Well, I'm going to pose a question to you. We'll have to ask you to answer it on the other side of the break. But this falling away for a season, this getting a bit selfish, my question to you, brother, is it a necessary evil in order to rediscover at a deeper and fresher level the beauty of the gospel? But that answer of yours on the other end of the divide. Brad Lacey and Bennett Donnelly, we return in a moment. Brad Lacey and Bennett Donnelly, returning with another round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Bennett, I know you to be a kind of young philosopher over the course of several years of friendship. I've profited by your reflections. You think at a deep and very clear level. And so my question to you afresh, you went to college. You found yourself, I guess, jettisoning, to use for lack of better language, for a season, your faith and exploring things more self-centeredly. You can do this if you will. Is this all a kind of necessary evil for one to freshly rediscover the beauty of one's origins and of one's faith? Or do we go through it for nothing?
I wouldn't say for nothing. I don't want to do the everyone's a special snowflake type talk, but for me, it was necessary, I think. I'm one of those people that thinks the mistakes you made in the past are generally things that you had to make to be the person you are now. So, yes, for me, it was. And I would say more of the lesson is that you need to keep yourself open. And that even if you reject something at one time, if you leave yourself open to it and constantly are reconsidering your thoughts on it, it may come back to you. It's one of the things, like, even when I'm in a low tide of faithfulness, I now know I need to force myself to go to church to absorb that and maybe get it back. And that's usually what happens, is something happens, something falls in my lap. A friend of mine comes to me and says, "Hey, can you edit a few books of the Bible for me?" And and it really reawakens the Holy Spirit in me.
You should never have reached out to me the day of the at the voting polls. I didn't even see you.
I could have just let you go on, and I would have never been a part of this.
You know, it's interesting. I went to an evangelical liberal arts college. It was by no means a secular enterprise. Very fine school. North of Boston. But my experience was quite interesting by my standard for this reason. I worked correspondingly at Logan Airport in Boston, and I went to an evangelical Christian college. And interestingly, at the Christian college, I lost sight of who I was. At the airport, I had a very pronounced sense of who I was, a follower and therefore a witness for Jesus Christ. And I think it would have been probably more normal if I lost sight of who I was at the airport and was reinforced amongst fellow believers. I don't really have a clue why it went in a different direction for me, but I was able in the final analysis to bring that college education round and lay it at the foot of the cross. And I was blessed with 7 years of higher education that helped prepare me for service to Christ. But I'll tell you something, those years at the airport were just as significant in my preparation. So for yourself, there had to be a kind of straying for a season. Praise God that you strayed back and the Lord found you afresh. Now you speak of this project, and I'd love to dive into it. It's called Voices of Philadelphia. It's something that the Lord laid upon me about 9 or 10 years ago. It was premature back then, and it resurfaced with the arrival of pandemic. And the idea is to share the Word of God by way of audio recordings using known voices, because there are lots of audio Bibles out there, and thank God for every one of them. They are ministering to the choir. But to draw upon known voices throughout the Philadelphia terrain that would, I mean, familiar known voices that would might reach people to take a listen to the word who might not otherwise attend to it. That's what's behind this project and how God has brought so many pieces into place. And you know something, brother? We needed an editor. And that beautiful day at the voting poll, God raised up an editor, a young man by the name of Bennett Donnerly. And tell us, to this point, it's early on, but to this point, tell us how it's affected you, what you're doing. From what you've shared with me thus far, it's been a very beneficial experience for you, let alone for the project.
I don't know if I'd call it a professional level, because I just do like a hobby small podcast. It's made me better in that way. Talking to Kyle, who is an excellent composer and whose whole life is making beautiful sound, has helped me immensely, and I've just gotten a lot better technically with it. I'm already looking at how to fix things, and I really am excited about the project spiritually. And I don't know, did you do this on purpose, Brad, but the Book of Romans was just such a perfect thing for me to edit. And, you know, I can't find where the verse is, but there's a nice long sort of part about using your gifts. And I've always wanted to, I always try to use my gifts, and I like to do it quietly because I am kind of a quiet, shy person. And to do this, to use my gifts, as I guess I'd call it, you know, it's something I'm still developing. I don't think I necessarily have a natural talent for it, but it's just been really great to do it that way. And it's the first time I've really felt the Holy Spirit really push me to do something great and artistic.
I praise God, Bennett, to hear this on several fronts. First, the text of which you're speaking would be drawn from, we can draw it from Romans 12, where we're given to understand what some of the gifts are. But then in Romans chapter 1, Paul says, I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by one another's faith. I think perhaps that's the verse of which you're speaking. Again, it's drawn from Romans 1. It's a text that was driven home to me at a very young adolescent age when I was new to faith and the scriptures were so fresh before me. And it has become one of the great signature verses of my own existence, let alone pastoral ministry. The second thought I have is, brother, I understand you're making distinctions regarding being or not being a professional. What I would say to you is, in the finest sense of the word, you bring the love of an amateur technologist to the table. Again, in that finest, more Olympian sense of the term, a highly honored and esteemed one. But what thrills me most of your response to me is when you tell me that you have finally discovered a means by which you can render authentic and fruitful service to the Lord God Almighty. So many people ask me how they can find the will of God. And my response invariably is, you place yourself in his presence and make yourself available, and he will soon enough ferret you out. He ferreted you out that day at the voting polls.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just been, it's been a great experience. And I think it's, the project is really coming together. We've got a long way to go. There are quite a few books of the Bible. And but just listening to it, and I feel like I'm getting better, and the recordings are going to get better, and it's just going to be really great and convenient. And neat that you're going to hear, it's not everyone has like a Philadelphia accent. Like, because there's people from all over the world actually doing this project.
Even jokers from Boston, right?
Yeah, there are. it's a very unique group of people, and it's just you're right, there are tons of recorded Bibles out there, but this one's going to be really great for people around here who know some of the personalities and can be introduced to other really interesting voices.
Well, you know, you mentioned your friend, indeed, our shared friend, Kyle Smith. You introduced Kyle to me. Kyle was a guest on the broadcast last week. I used to listen to Kyle. He was an on-air classical host, and I would listen to him present everything from Schubert to Beethoven. I never dreamed that he and I would become such dear friends. But for that exquisite voice to be reading something like the Book of Revelation. Now, you've been sending me, you've been sending me, I'll call them the dailies. Mm. And I could listen. I mean, Revelation is not an easy book to read. And yet he has parlayed it into fine art. And with your technical expertise and partnership, I mean, I can't wait. It'll be uploaded very shortly. I can't wait for people to be able to hear Revelation, just as you have already cited Romans. They'll be the first two books uploaded onto the Voices of Philadelphia website. We have Acts chapter 1 through 12 also waiting in the wings, read by Father Matthew Biedricki of the Basilica of St. Peter and Paul on the Ben Franklin Parkway. And then the Gospel of Mark, read by another exquisite classical host. And it excites me, and I'm so pleased that it excites you. And we pray that it will be a blessing to the audience. But Brad Lacey, Bennett Donnelly, we will return for a final round of The Great Message in just a moment. Brad Lacey and Bennett Donnelly, returning for one final round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Brother Bennett, perhaps we should simply share with the audience the fact that Voices of Philadelphia is a ministry of the Philadelphia Bible Society. I think it's fair to say as well, in concert and cooperation with the First Baptist Church at Conshohocken. And one can turn to the website address, voicesofphiladelphia.org. It's one word, voicesofphiladelphia.org. Whoever turns to that website, you will find a very attractive site. Currently, Paul's letter to the Romans is uploaded for listening. And within the next several days, we will have the Book of Revelation as well uploaded for listening. So please do take a listen. But Bennett, having shared with Voices of Philadelphia, I always want to explore your perceptions. And so I'd love, in a very general way, you're a young guy with deep and astute discernment. Take a lay of the land today. What's happening and what is needed? I mean, you and I are living in a day of profound and pronounced uncertainty, to put it mildly. I'd love to hear your general assessment and what you think we need.
I think we all need to take a step back. It feels like since COVID, everyone's been, you know, turned up to 11 and just very angry. And, you know, you see all these stories like crime is on the rise. People in planes seem to be getting into trouble a lot more. And it just feels like everyone needs to take a deep breath and recognize that their neighbor is a child of God, you know, is in God's image, and recognize the soul in the other person. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, and I would also add to that in compliment to, in keeping with, I long for the day when there's a restoration of respect for a differing opinion. You know, differing opinions have never obstructed relationship for me until recently, and I honestly can say I'm not the problem because I've always honored those who think differently than do I. We can discuss these things over lunch, you know, and carry on as friends. I long for that day when we can disagree with one another and not be demonized or demonizing.
I love to hear people who think different than me. You know, it's as we yeah. talk, I know we both read a ton. You have your own little library in your house. Not little. You have a library-sized library in your house.
Bennett, allow me to apply the proper phraseology. I have a very formidable library.
Perfect. And I think part of why I like to read is just to get different experiences and points of view. And I feel like we're we're shaving the world down and becoming like a more boring society where we've pushed all the different views out.
We've geneticized everything, you know. It's a terrible thing. Back in the 60s, the quip that was bandied about originally by Emerson, "Whoso would be a man must be a nonconformist." Everybody was so busy trying to be different that they were all one and the same. And today, it's a much deeper melee of genericism. That everybody looks, they look and think and act alike. I mean, you turn the news on and it's all the same gestures. We're lacking color. In fact, one of the great radio talk hosts made an observation a while back that even automobiles, there was a day when you'd buy a new auto and everybody wanted to know what color it was. But for the most part, automobiles today are silver, black, or brown. Mm-hmm. There's not as much color anymore. And I think that's reflective of a broader and deeper melee to society. We're so genericized, and therefore we're threatened by anything that is different. Tell me, you read widely. I think you still do it. You have a pattern whereby you read a book of nonfiction, and when you complete that, you turn to a book of fiction. Are you still doing that back and forth?
I am doubling up now because of COVID, because there's less to do now. So I am currently reading a fiction book and nonfiction. I've changed it a little bit since I've done the podcast, that now I read a book for the podcast and then I read a book for pleasure.
That's right. You are a podcaster. I believe we can offer the address. There's no conflict here. What is it?
It's called Idiot with a Library Card.
That's right. Yes. Okay. Fair enough, brother. Yeah.
I thought it was a funny title. I'm not an expert in anything, but I like reading different things and just talking about it. It's more of a hobby than anything, but I've really enjoyed it, and it has really got me to read things closer, even silly things. Like whole show on Sherlock Holmes, and you know, it's not the deepest stuff, but it's a lot of fun, and it's fun to look at.
Are you a member of the Baker Street Irregulars?
No, I am not.
I knew a man who was. He was an ordained minister, and he was a member of the Baker Street Irregulars. And trust me, do not even suggest in his presence that Holmes was a fictitious character.
Oh, really?
He would denounce you to within an inch of your life. Tell me, when you're reading, Bennett, and this is something very dear to me, and we've got about 2 minutes. How does reading affect you spiritually? I know that it has great impact upon me, notwithstanding the nature of the reading material. I'm always funneling what I read through the prism of the gospel, whether it's a piece of history or a piece of fiction or a piece of poetry. How does reading influence and affect your spiritual existence?
I would say I'm more compartmentalized than that. There are times where I'm just reading for, like I was reading Moonraker, which is a silly James Bond novel, and yeah, there's no real gospel-y feeling from it, but you know, I'll read something else. I just reread Catch-22, and there are profound ideas in that book that burn deep within me, and that's where I can sort of see it through the gospel, or I feel the book more.
Thanks to you, Catch-22 remains on my book table waiting for me to pick up afresh. I began to read it and fell in love with it, but then found myself being waylaid. Incidentally, Moonraker, the Bond story, is the last of three films that feature the great Welsh Shirley Bassey singing the signature songs. She sang Goldfinger, she sang Diamonds Are Forever, and she sang the piece that was the signature song for Moonraker from the late 70s. You know, I've not read Bond myself. I've leaned more towards some of the great detective fiction of both the Brits and the American side of the pond. And I find that there's a great deal of spiritual material built into detective work. I mean, you're seeking to discover truth. The facts, truth is far more than mere fact. but fact will never belie truth. Or if it does, it works hand in hand with truth. Mere fact is never the full picture. So I have found in the reading of detective fiction an enhancement of my own desire to know what is the truth. But Brother Bennett, we are out of time, and all I can ask of you is that you'll come back.
I'd love to, anytime.
Well, if you love to come back, I promise you, you're coming back. Brad Lacey and Bennett Donnelly, we wish you the blessing of Christ in every conceivable way. God bless you and take care. Bye-bye.